Welcome to the audio ministry of Grove Park Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. We pray you will be blessed by today's message.
I invite you to take your copy of God's Word and turn to Exodus chapter 32. While you are turning there, let me offer my thanks to all who have reached out and offered prayers over the last week. I appreciate it. As you know, I have an ongoing struggle with my kidneys, and we're figuring all that out still. But last Sunday was rough. So I kept saying to Eliza, if you can get me in a wheelchair, I can go preach. And she said, "You can't even get dressed." And I said, "I could wear my robe." Yeah, y'all needed polar bear pajamas and a pastoral robe. That's what you needed. Exodus 32. Would you pray with me? Give grace, O God, that we may hear from you today. That we may be challenged in our walk, that we may be renewed in our walk. That, Lord, everything that we say and do would be a picture of grace to those who need it. Lord, bless me with the words that are needed for those who have gathered to hear from you as we make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. The journey of faith, which we are on, and we're living with Moses and the Israelites with, is a long journey. It is not a journey that until we reach the end of our life do we ever finally arrive at where we're going. And in this journey, sometimes there are long stretches of us sitting still. Not necessarily by our own accord, but by God just saying at that point, just stop. And in these moments, you and I, or at least I, get awful twitchy because we don't understand why we can't be progressing forward. We get really anxious about. And instead of just enjoying the moment of rest that God has granted to us, we say, "I've got to do something." I mean, it's like that old bumper sticker that says, "Look busy, Jesus is coming." And we think we got to look busy. But beloved, in the moment of pause, in the moment of rest, in the moment of Sabbath that God grants to us in these passages of our life, we should understand that we are at a point of great temptation. And so how do we fight off great temptation, particularly one as we see in the morning text this morning? Well, first we have to remember to remain patient. Verse 1, chapter 32. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." They go, "We need a god. This guy who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know where he's at. We don't know what's going on. He left us and went up onto the mountain. And we have no clue, and so we got to do something, so make us a god." They're impatient. they might think. It would appear that the God that Moses told them about, the God of their forefathers, had forgotten them. We do that too. We think that God has forgotten us. We think that God has forgotten where we are. God has just sort of put us off into the rest area and has forgotten about us. But beloved, understand something this morning, that God hadn't forgotten where you are. That this may be a temporary lull, it may be a way station for you, but God has not forgotten where you are. And just because your timeline does not match what God's timeline is at any given particular point in life doesn't mean that God's wrong. It doesn't mean that God's clock is wrong. It doesn't mean any of those things. It means that the same grace that God has extended to you and me throughout all of our lives is to be used at that point in time with God. Mark, we offer God grace? Yes, beloved, you do offer God grace. You should, at least. Give Him the grace to work out the things that need to be worked out to get you back on the road where you need to be in the direction that He has you to go. People say all the time to me, I just pray for patience. Let me tell you something right now, beloved. Don't you ever pray for patience. Because when you pray for patience, let me tell you what you're going to get. Not patience. Hell. Your life is going to be absolutely hellish because you're going to have to figure out how to wait in it. So don't ever pray for patience. Pray for grace. And remain patient. Because God has not forgotten where you are. Why do I know that God hadn't forgotten where you are? Well, you need to remember who got you this far. You know, at the end of that verse, number one, they say that Moses is the one who got them up out of Egypt. Moses didn't do any such thing. It was the hand of God who got them up out of Egypt. Moses just was the instrument that God used. It wasn't Moses who had brought the plagues. It wasn't Moses who changed the Nile. It wasn't Moses who brought about the death of the firstborn. It wasn't Moses who did any of those things. It was the hand of God. It was God who parted the Red Sea and let them go across on dry land. Beloved, we have to remember who got us this far. And it wasn't somebody outside. It wasn't us. It was God. And by the way, in the middle of us remembering who got us this far, it is incumbent upon us to remember who we are. I'm short on time this morning, so I'm not going to read verses 11 through 14. But God's going to renew, He's not going to renew, He's going to restate the promise to Abraham that the children of Israel are God's people, and they shall be as numerous as the sands of the sea, and that they are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In other words, they are God's people. Beloved, God can't forget who you are. God can't forget where you are because God sent His Son to die for you. And once you come into relationship with Him, you are eternally bound covenantally with Him. You are secure. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And there is nothing on the face of the planet that will separate us from the love of God. And by the way, extraplanetary too will separate us from the love of God. We are tight in His hand. And so we can't think, we can be as patient as we want. Why? Because God certainly was patient with us. And we can be patient with Him until He moves us back to the place that He wants us to begin traveling again. We should just enjoy the rest in that moment. Now, as you enjoy the rest in that moment, as you enjoy the patience, as you remember who God is, who has brought you thus far, who you are with God, reminder also, beloved, be good stewards of what God's given you. Verses 2 and 3 say, so Aaron said to them, take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. You know, we read this and we don't think much of it, right? But let me just remind you about who these folks were. These folks were folks who had lived in slavery in Egypt. Do you think that they off on the side were able to get this massive collection of fine jewelry like they had just gone and robbed a Bailey's? And I just remember there are no Bailey's this way. You have to grow up in Eastern North Carolina for that, but nevertheless. That really got all this jewelry? No. If you were to go to Exodus 12, 35 and 36, you would see that Moses said to them as they were leaving Egypt, go ask. Go ask for this stuff. And the scripture says that the Egyptians were so ready to get rid of them after all that had befallen them with the death of the firstborn that they gave it to them. And the scripture says that essentially the Israelites had plundered Egypt. God gave them all this stuff. Why did he give it to them? Well, if you were to go further down into Exodus 25, you would find that it is there because God intends for those things to be used in the creation of the tabernacle, the place for worship of God. And so what we have here is these folks using the things that God arranged for them to have to use as worship and instruments of worship for him, and they have turned it into a golden calf. And I know somewhere in your mind you're thinking, well, he's going to start preaching on money now. But you are wrong. Because, beloved, there is more to stewardship than your money. Now, I'm not going to get, you know everything I'm going to say about money, but I am going to go after a few other things. Are you a good steward of your time? Are you a good steward of your time such that you are giving back to God what he has given you in time? Are you a steward of your talents? God's gifted all of us with various things. Are you using the gifts that God has given you for his glory and for his worship? Or are you just using them for your own benefit? You know, there's a couple other things that we don't think about with stewardship, but I want to challenge us on this morning. One of them is, are you using your influence? Influence? Yes. Are you using your influence to the glory of God? Because all of us have influence in somebody's life. That God has enabled us to be able to speak to them and to move them to do something for him. A friend of mine called me this week and said to me, can you talk to my brother? And I said, why? And they said, well, he's sort of gone off the deep end in relationship to our father. And I thought somebody needs to bring him back around, so I thought you could talk to him. And I said, I don't know your brother that well. I don't have that much influence on your brother. Trust me, I wished I did, because I've been wanting to say a few things to him. But I don't have that influence. Is there somebody else? Well, it's so-and-so. Well, tell them. Beloved, are you using your influence for good? Or are you using your influence for bad? And more pointedly, are you using your influence neutrally? In other words, you're not using it at all. Because how you use your influence also means how are you being a good steward of your relationships? How are you being a good steward of who God has brought into your life? Are you using those means to further the gospel? Are you using the people that God has brought into your life? Beloved, the people that you eat with when you go out to eat, the people that you see regularly at the Y, the people that you work with, the people that you exercise with, you name it, beloved, those people are not put into your life haphazardly. God has brought them in for a purpose. And are you trying to figure out what that purpose is and move them and you further into the direction of what God intends for their lives? Or are you being a poor, poor steward? Beloved, we already have seen that God has brought them everything that they have. God's the one that brought them out of Egypt. God's the one that supplies them water. God's the one that brings them manna in the morning. God's the one that brings them quail at night. God's the one that has given them rules to live by. God is the one who has moved and shaped their journey through this wilderness. God has done it again and again and again and again. And if we think that God does all of this and doesn't then in turn also give us everything else in our life, we are sadly mistaken. These other things do not happen haphazardly, but that are all brought under the gracious hand of God to us. So, are you being a good steward today? You see, beloved, you've got to be patient. You've got to remember who you are and how you have gotten as far as you have, and you've got to remember who gave you all that you have so that you can be a steward of it, because if not, you will fall prey to the great temptation of this text. The great temptation of this text is creating God into the image we would like God to be. Verse 4, "And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, 'Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord.' And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." They created a golden calf. Now, in our very non-agrarian society these days, we might not think about what a calf, or let's just go ahead and put it in another phrase, a bull would look like. We not think about the impact of here, but a bull is going to be one, an image of strength, an image of vitality. A bull is going to be something that is powerful and strong. And you say, well, Mark, don't we want all of those things to be who God is? Well, yeah, we do. But our job's not to create that image. That's God's job. We're not to try to make God into who we want God to be. But, beloved, understand something. When we fail in all these other things to fight off temptation, we will do that. And we will make God into something that God is not. We will make God look like we think God should look like. You know, some of us are just mad at everything. And so what do we create? A mad God. And God is angry at everybody, and we think that God is going to just smite everybody down. We have problems with loving other people that aren't like us, and so we suddenly think that God can't like them either, and we make God look like that. We think that you have to have your nose to the grindstone constantly, and so we think that God is a cruel taskmaster and has continuously whipping us into work. And we don't ever learn how to take a moment to breathe and remember that God is the God of Sabbath. Whatever you can think of, beloved, to shape God into this morning, the question for you is, are you doing it? Are you doing it? I don't want to worship a God that I create. Because ultimately, if I worship a God that I create, I am worshiping myself. Because that God's going to be created in my image. And guess what? I'm not created in my image. I'm created in the image of God. And so I'm supposed to be shaping myself to look like that image, not vice versa. They had good intentions. I will give it up to that. They had good intentions. They just massively blew it. And you and I can have good intentions all we want about how we make God to be. But beloved, too often we just blow it. And so in the providence of God, last Sunday morning, I had a kidney infection and was not able to preach the sermon that I had written. And so I'm going to give you the last bit of it now. It is important for us to be keenly aware of who God is so that we do not shape the image of God that we have into us, but into God. And so our prayer must be the prayer of Moses. You see, in the intervening passage between where we end here in 14 and where we're going to pick up in 33, Moses goes down, Moses throws down the tablets. It's just a disaster. God wants to kill them all. And Moses says no. But Moses says, God says, you're going to go to the promised land, but I'm going to send an angel. I'm not going to go with you. And Moses says to God, you got to go with us. And so there's this dialogue between Moses and God in the end of chapter 33. And finally, God says, okay, I'll go with you. And Moses decides to up it one more time. I love Moses. Moses says, Lord, I want this. And God says, okay. And then Moses says, okay, God, now I want this. And so turn with me to Exodus 33, 18. Because Moses says, God, I want you to go with me. And God says, okay. And so what does Moses say? Please show me your glory. Show me your glory. Now, this word we saw a couple weeks ago is the visible manifestation of the presence of God. So he says, God, I want to see you. Visibly, I want to see you. And so what does God say? Verse 19. He says, and he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. So, beloved, in order for us to not make God into our image, our prayer every day must be, God, let me see more and more and more and more and more and more of you. Because God will grant that. And in granting that, did you notice what we'll see? We'll see first the goodness of God. Man, we should have sang that this Sunday. But Dale didn't know what I was going to do with this mashup sermon. But think about the goodness of God, beloved. Think about how good God is in your life. Think about how good God's been to you. And then you say, Mark, you're preaching what you've already done. Yeah, guess what? Sometimes we need helpful reminders. I want you to think of one spot that you can't figure out to this day how you got out of it, and recognize the goodness of God. And ask yourself, did I deserve it? Did I deserve it? And if you say, yes, I'll be in the back. Because guess what? You didn't deserve it. I don't deserve anything. I don't. But God says, my goodness will pass by you. You'll get to see my goodness. Then also he says, I'm going to let my name be known. Now remember, the name of God in the Bible is always understood to be the character of God. So God's going to say, I'm going to show you who I really am. Well, beloved, isn't that what we need to figure out what God looks like, is to know who he really is on the inside? You say, God, I want to know more of that. And then notice what he says, I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy, and I will show grace on whom I will show grace. And we may say, that is proof that God's going to pick. And I'm going to argue back to you, beloved, that that is proof that God is going to generally show grace to the ones that you and I don't think deserve grace, and God's going to show mercy to the ones that you and I don't believe should have mercy. Because that's how good God is. Because I'm not going to lie to you, beloved, there are millions of people on this planet that if I were God, I'd already zapped. I'll just be plain and honest with you. Because I see how awful the world is, and I think to myself sometimes, God should just zap them. Just throw down lightning bolts and just poof. But God lets them live. There's a lot of folks in church over my 45 years of life that I have wondered why God let them live. They were just that mean. And guess what? Some of them are still alive. And why is that? Because of the grace and mercy of God. Now, beloved, if on our journey we pray that prayer of Moses, and God will answer that prayer again and again, and as we see all those things, as we see his grace, as we see his glory, as we see his mercy, as we see his goodness, as we see his character, and we keep that image in front of us, we make sure that the image of God we have is not one that we have created, but it is the image that God has offered to us, then, beloved, we have strength to be patient. We have strength to remember all the time who we are and who got us this far. We have strength to be good stewards, and more than just strength, we have power to be good stewards. And here's the good news today, beloved, that you can do anything that God has called you to do if you have this image in front of your mind. And so the question really is today, how well do you see God? What is the image that you have? And does it match who God is? You and I today read this story of the golden calf and we think it's not us. But the truth of the matter is it is. And we need to cast down our idols today. Let's pray. Lord, help us to not bear false witness today as to who you are, but help us to show forth a true image of who you are and make sure that ours lines up with the truth. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. Please note our schedule has been revised as of April 2021. Please join us on Sunday mornings for worship at 10 o'clock in the sanctuary at 108 Trail 1 in Burlington or on Facebook Live. For more information and resources regarding our church, please visit groveparkchurch.net. And remember, grace abounds.